once my way. Now if my light don't shine, I blind my keen-eyed sense of reason. If my light don't shine, I blind my keen-eyed sense of reason. If my light don't shine.
Hi, everybody. This is the Ramble Redhead Show, and I'd like to welcome you to today's show. Today, we have a very special musical guest, and his name is Gregory Douglas, and he's an artist that has quite a few CDs out, and I had the luxury of being able to see him live in person just a few weeks ago, and I have been wanting to have him on the program ever since. And so without any further ado, I'd like for you to welcome to the show Mr. Gregory Douglas. Hi, Gregory.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Good, thanks.
Well, great. And I was just telling everybody about I got to see you live in person and thought the show was really, really good. And I wanted to definitely share my audience your music. And I wanted to get a little bit more about, you know, about you. And I was just wondering, can you tell us, so where were you born and all that good stuff?
Well, I grew up in rural Vermont, kind of middle of nowhere Vermont. And then I went away to boarding school, which wasn't too far, in Wolfboro, New Hampshire, the last 3 years of high school. And I made the choice to do that because they had a pretty technically advanced system running there, including a really fancy recording studio. And I was really able to get the majority of all the material for my first two records demoed and recorded there. And that really set the stage for everything, I think. In fact, I decided not to go to college and I was the only kid at this college prep school not taking their SATs and preparing for colleges and all that, because I really felt like I had a head start, and I had a feeling that that might be the case, which is also another reason I chose to go to boarding school. I figured maybe I could get like the high school and college experience in one. And I just really knew what I wanted to do early on and couldn't really justify paying thousands of dollars a year to be a starving artist, essentially. So I ended up moving back to Vermont, and I moved to Burlington, which is where I still live now, to really get a head start. And it's just such a great, supportive community here, and there's definitely a lot happening musically and culturally, and so it's just been great. And then ever since I graduated in 99, I've pretty much been doing this almost full-time. I had a part-time job for a few years, but I've been full-time for, you know, ever since then, pretty much.
Wow. Well, that's pretty amazing. And, well, I want to get into a little bit more about the music, you know, later in the show, but I'd like to get a little bit more about, you know, you and your growing up and things like that. So you said you grew up in Vermont then. And now, do you have brothers and sisters?
I have one younger sister. She's just a couple years younger, although everyone thinks she's older when they meet her.
Oh, really?
I guess she's just more mature than I am.
Oh, okay. Well, obviously, when you're the youngest, you don't want to be, oh, you're the oldest? No, so, but, I was just wondering, how old were you when you realized that you were gay?
I was 14, really, when it clicked. I actually met my first boyfriend through my last girlfriend.
Really?
And, yes, it was a very scandalous, actually. I was 14, and I was dating an 18-year-old girl, and she introduced me to a bunch of her friends one night, and one of these friends of hers ended up being my first boyfriend, and he really pursued me, and it wasn't until the point where we actually kissed, and that's when it clicked. I was like, okay, this is, I know who I am now. Yeah, so I don't know. I guess I got kind of a head start, although that seems like a pretty average age these days.
Yeah, they had a Time article last year, and they said that the average age for boys that was around like 14, 15 years old. So it's amazing how much younger at the age is now becoming. And some of the guests that I've actually talked to, one of them actually said that they were 5 when they realized it. I mean, they just could tell that early. But I think it's mostly in the teenage years. But so how old was the other boy? The same age?
He was 15.
Yeah. Okay. Well, cool.
Yeah.
And, I was just curious, do you remember who the first person that you actually came out to, other than obviously him?
Yeah, it was my best friend at the time. This girl who I had met through a music program. And she and I were actually pen pals in the classic sense. We wrote, 8-page-long letters to each other all the time. And finally, we talked on the phone as well, but our big thing was our letters. And I actually called her on the phone one night, and over the course of 2 months or more, finally spit out that I was gay. And it was just so hard for me to spit it out. I mean, I was just crying, and I felt like I was going crazy. And finally I spit it out, and she just was like, it's okay, it's fine. Everything's fine. Like, that's all you had to say, So that was really amazing and necessary at the time, because her reaction really set the stage quickly for my... like immediate growth and just feeling comfortable with myself. And then I told my mother next.
Okay.
And she was very, she shed a quick tear, but I think that I grew up in a very rural town. So I think the hardest part for me and anyone that might've had a hard time in the beginning was just their surroundings. I think, depending on where you grow up, you get used to. I remember being young and feeling like, there just was no way I could be gay. Even when I started having those thoughts, because I was normal and healthy, and from my vague understanding of somebody that was gay, was that they just were not normal and not healthy and. So I couldn't make sense of that. But anyway, but my mom came around pretty quickly, and I think partially because she is the oldest of 6 children, and they're all girls except for one, and he's gay. But it's never really been talked about. So I actually really outed quite a few people in my family. Once I came out, I just wouldn't shut up about it. So everyone else who was pretty shy and in the closet. I think I kind of set the stage for them, and a lot more open-mindedness on my mom's side of the family anyway.
Wow. Well, that's good. I mean, that's one of the things that I always talk about on my show, is that there's just so many people that when they do come out, because before they come out, they always have this hang-up, is the family going to accept me, and all this stuff. And then the amazing things that, like you did when you came out to your friend, is that they said, oh, it's okay, that's no big a deal. And they're like, what? You expect this big experience, and then you find out that it's like, oh, it's okay, I knew, and I'm just glad that, for the most part, you had that type of reaction, and I'm glad that your mother, did a quick turnaround, because obviously, she loves you, and she wants the best for you, and obviously that's, what you hope all the parents will do, but unfortunately, there's a lot of, younger people that don't know about that. I mean, they don't get to experience that. So I'm glad that it had a good ending, or, a good thing for you. So now, regarding the other family members, you have a gay uncle then. I mean, how's the things been since you came out with them? I mean, has he been treated, in the same manner, or has it been different because he was older, or what?
I definitely a generational difference, in that just that whole side of my mom's whole side of the family has always been very hush-hush, and I think it's hard to break old habits in that sense. But people have definitely come around. I mean, my grandfather, for example, who is as closed-minded as they come, really, he he's finally gotten to a point where my uncle has been with his partner for, I don't know, maybe 10 years now. And they're both finally allowed to come together to their house to my grandparents' house for the holidays. I mean, for a while, my grandfather would not have it. Peter would have to come alone, or, you know, that, or they weren't welcome together. But so that's changed. My grandmother finally put her foot down on that. So I'm seeing it have, you know, a positive effect over time, and that's a really profound thing when the older generation puts their foot down,
yeah,
and tries to change their ways. So that's been cool to watch, particularly my grandmother really change things for everyone. So,
well, that's good.
And of course, all of the siblings are very supportive. And but, you know, it's just, it's not really talked about out loud. It's just kind of behind their back.
Wow.
So.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, there's a lot of families out there that, you know, that, you know, it isn't. It's like the military, don't ask, don't tell type thing, you know, and just
right.
Let it go. So, so after you went to this, well, I just wondered, do you have any other stories about the family that, you know, maybe be applicable that you might want to share before we get on the next topic?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Well, how about your father? How about your father and your sister? How did they react?
I'm not terribly close with my father. I think he's gotten to the point where he is accepting, mm-hmm. but, you know, in a very similar way. It's just a very backwards generation, you know, with a lot of my family. So it's just kind of like, okay, well, I have no choice to accept it since, you know, the world seems to be more and more accepting of it. And but I just don't think they understand, and nor are they really making much effort to. I mean, certain mm-hmm. people, my father and my grandfather.
Right.
But, you know, you can't teach some old dogs new tricks, you know?
Yeah.
So, but, you know, then there are people like my grandmother who I think, so, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much that.
Okay. So, well, getting to the next chapter in life, you said that you went to the school and you started to really get more involved with music. And I was just wondering, how old were you when all that happened for you? Was that right out of high school?
It was my sophomore year in high school, so my last 3 years in high school.
Okay.
And, yeah, I just had kind of had enough of the public high school that I was a part of that just felt like a real wasteland for me. And there didn't seem like much opportunity, nor did there seem like many people that I could really click with. And so just hearing about boarding schools and how, what an opposite approach they have in comparison to public schools, really thriving on diversity and just, you know, having so much more opportunity. Of course, it's so much more expensive as well, but it really was worth it, and I'm so glad I did.
Well, good. Well, see, one of the things that I want to, you know, let people know is that you're 25, right?
Or 26? I just turned 26, yeah.
Oh, okay. Happy birthday. When was your birthday?
In December 19th.
Okay. So you're Sagittarius.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Well, see, one of the things I was just curious, because I always like to talk to, you know, when I talk to musicians like yourself, is that I was just wondering, because you're a relatively young guy, so obviously, I was just wondering, what were your kind of mentors or your inspiration or your artists that you inspired to be or be like or, you know, or influenced you in your music?
Well, there's been a lot of female influences over the years,
mm-hmm.
Primarily female, although Peter Gabriel and Jeff Buckley have been two really big male influences, but, Tori Amos really set the stage for me, and, Kate Bush was a huge influence, Patty Griffin, mm-hmm. and the October Project. They were kind of a more underground band that dismantled before they really got too well known, but they were pretty influential. And, you know, and a lot of other emotional female singer-songwriters. So when I was younger, I was listening to a lot of the pop divas of the 80s, which really taught me how to sing. And then once I got into middle school and into high school, I just really was fascinated by some of these women that were doing everything themselves, writing all their songs and accompanying themselves and just pouring their heart out to their songs. And it just rang true to me. So I taught myself how to play the piano and guitar, and kind of starting with trying to learn other people's songs a little bit. And then that quickly developed into just dabbling into my own songwriting, and the rest is history.
Well, that's what I find amazing, that all these like independent artists that I've talked to, like Kim Carr Meredith and William Scott and Josh Zuckerman and Ari Gold and all these others. I mean, it was just really amazing how they all, you know, basically just grabbed the guitar, got on the piano and just, you know, and taught and themselves. And I just find that so amazing. I mean, like right now, I mean, I can write a song, but writing the music, I just, you know, it just seems so difficult. And, you know, and I was just wondering, because you write all your songs, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And I was just wondering, of all the, because you have your, this is your sixth CD is out, is that right, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And I was just wondering, as far as all the different songs that you've written, I was just wondering, is there one that really stands out the most for you as far as the, like, this is the song that I am the most proudest of?
I don't know how to answer that. I guess, you know, and I get asked that a lot, actually, but I really try and make every song so different from the next.
Mm-hmm.
And every song means something different to me, so it's hard to really narrow it down. And I don't know. Plus, I'm always challenging myself to just build my chops a bit, and, you know, just get a little bit more, just advance myself. And so I don't know. I would say that Up and Away, the title track, the last track on the newest record, is a kind of a, it's a really long song. It's 6 minutes, I think, and it has all sorts of different movements, or just, you know, different parts to it. It's not a standard formatted song that I'm used to. And it kind of started out as a collection of different ideas that really flowed together, but it's also a little bit more of a retrospective of just the past however many years of pursuing music, and how I felt when I was starting and how I feel now, and just looking back and just looking towards the future, and there are all sorts of different pieces of different styles and directions that I've tried to move in musically, and there are a lot of different traces of influences in that song as well. So I don't know. I'm particularly proud of that one, but I don't know if I'm any more proud of it than any of the others.
Yeah. Well, I was just curious, because, like, there's a couple of artists that I've talked to. They, like, when Kim was talking, she said there's this one song she wrote for her partner was because it was right after they first met. And so it kind of, you know, it meant a lot, you know, to her for, you know, multitude of reasons. And I was just wondering if there was, you know, like a particular reason or a particular song. But you know, that's, you know, not surprising. When I've read about other artists, they pretty much say the same thing. They just try to, broaden their horizons and try different things, and that what makes them unique. And one thing I love about reading on your website is that I've been reading that it says that, you know, with your type of music, which is, you know, contemporary folk, pop, and rock, is that you've been compared to like Tori Amos, Jeff Buckley, Patty Griffin, Rufus Wainwright, and, you know, and a lot of others. And, you know, also you were a finalist for the International Songwriting Competition and the Independent Music Awards, and you're also won an award at the 2003 Grammy Fest Awards in New York City. And so that was really, that must have been very impressive to be part of that at, you know, at your young age like that. So I must be really proud of that.
Yeah, for sure.
And also, just so people know, is that you also, you know, have a video called I Wanted to Run, and it's going to be on, or it is on local TV right now on the Click List Top 10 Video Countdown. Is that right?
Well, you know, I think it might have fallen off the radar. It was going strong for about 6 months. And, you know, it's all kind of fueled on voting power. And, you know, I was really encouraging people to vote. And they did. They voted for a long time. And, you know, I can only beg them to vote for me for so long. So I think it's off the radar now. But I am working on a follow-up video that I hope to have ready to air and on Logo again in the summer.
Okay, great. What song will that be?
It's not completely confirmed yet, but it's most likely the song Hang Around.
Oh, great. I love that song. Yeah, that was the... I have to tease you right here for a moment, because just so you know, folks who are listening to the show, is that I got, you know, as I mentioned earlier, that I got to see Gregory at the show, and I talked with him before about, you know, doing this interview, and I talked about his CD during the break, and one of the things I said, are you going to be doing Hang Around? And he says, well, I hadn't planned on it, but I will for you. And so the funny thing is that we were talking, and as he signed my CD, he said, okay, it's Tom, you know, so he signed it, and they had this other performer, and her name is Steph Taylor, and she was really, really good, and he hands her CD and says, okay, it's Tom. And then when they got to go back into their singing, that that he thought my name was Alan, and she thought my name was Rob. So I thought that was kind of cute, and all the people that I had told about the show and that were there, and they kept coming up to me and saying, "Hey, when you bought the CDs, did they sign it Rob or Alan?" And I said, "No." And I said, "Oh, that'd have been funny." But I said, "No." I said, "No, that happened after I bought my CDs, so it was really good." But I just had to tease you about that. So, but if you
just have, you must have just a really universal look.
I guess. Well, I just want to let everybody know, too, that also Gregory does have a MySpace page, and you can check out several of his songs. He has Hang Around, which we just talked about, which I personally think is one of the really good ones, because I really, really enjoyed that, and I was glad he got to play it live for me. And there's also a song called Sail the Sea, also the one called I Wanted to Run, and then another song called Heart. And you can find there's some other videos as well as... you know, all the upcoming dates that he has coming up. And so it's really, really good. A lot of good information. And I'll be making sure I have a link for that, as well as he has his own website, which is Gregory Douglas. And it's Douglas with two S's at the end, .com. And you can read about not only about his biography, but his music. He has a store, all of his concert dates. He has photos, his press kit, everything. He's even got a message board and all other kinds of links and things that you can find out a little bit more about him and his great work. And so I definitely want to encourage all of you to check that out. And also I'll be... are you also... you're also listed with CD Baby, is that right?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, that's the link. I went to the store and you can do that. And you have all of your... other CDs available, and they can buy, and so it's really cool. And well, I was just wondering, because I obviously, you know, you've been, you know, doing a lot of touring, and I was just wondering, do you have any crazy stories to share about that? Because I always love asking the independent artists this question, so I was just wondering if you had any that you want to share.
Wow, crazy stories. I'm so bad under pressure that, you know, I'm naturally drawing a blank right now, and the moment I get off the phone, I'll think of five of them. let's see. Crazy stories. You know, I mean, I guess it's always kind of up and down. You never know what you're getting into, and there have definitely been times where I felt like I've stepped into the twilight zone with what's going on. You know, just there have been some interesting college gigs where I've been stuck, placed in the cafeteria, you know, and while, I mean, for example, I was actually playing in a lounge at a college in Kentucky late at night. It was like an 11 o'clock show, and they set me up. It was such an awkward setup that they placed me on the stairs where their kind of tables and chairs were elevated on one area, and there were some below, and I was kind of placed on the stairs right in the middle, so there were people surrounding me practically on all sides. And I just looked like completely in the way where I was set up, and there was this really, you know, big loudmouth kind of backwoodsy guy, and he got really upset that the person in charge turned off the TV, and the person in charge really didn't even know. He was just kind of assigned to be there. He wasn't really even sure what was going on, you know. And so they kind of got into a brawl over the fact that the TV had to be off while I was trying to play for them. And, I mean, he threw a fit and just kept turning the TV back on, and the guy would turn the TV back off, and they just were freaking out at each other, and I just kind of sat there and played through. And I mean, there have been a lot of different stories like that where it's just kind of, it borderline is just humiliating, you know,
wow,
to even be playing there. But I don't know. I mean, then there are also the really, really great performances that just make it all worthwhile. So it kind of balances itself out, I guess.
So it really doesn't matter what you do in life. You know, you're always going to have your ups and downs. Because I remember a couple years ago I did stand-up comedy for an amateur thing. And the thing was is that I remember, you know, I was very, very nervous, and you're up there in front of all these people, and you got this bright light on your face, and you think that you can't see everybody, but you can see everybody, and they're all staring at you, and you're just like, oh my God, am I going to be good enough? And I'll never forget, there was this one guy that was sitting in the front row, and he had his arms crossed, he had a look on his face, he looked like he hadn't went to the bathroom for like 20 years, and he wasn't going to smile at any joke that I told, and all the other people were laughing, and they're having a good time, but he was just like, I'm here for somebody else, I'm not going to laugh at you.
You know, right.
You know, and it was just so intimidating, and I really wanted to say something like, sir, you know, I know you're here for somebody else, but you can laugh at my jokes too, you know, but I really wanted to do that, but I thought, no, I better not. But so, I mean, I'm sure you've always had a lot of good reactions to your music, and I'm just wondering, you know, because I'm sure that, you know, I'm just looking at the tour dates that you got coming from now until June, and I'm like, good Lord, you're going to be everywhere. So I hope you're not driving all of that, but you're going to be getting some frequent flyer miles or whatever. But I was like,
wow. No, I am driving it all, yeah.
You're driving it all? To Texas,
yeah,
and
just,
Aaron, all that?
Yeah, wow. Just a 2-month loop around the country.
Are you there? Hello?
Yeah, are you there?
Well, we had a little gap there. I was like, we lost you for a second.
Okay.
So you're going to be driving all of that. Wow, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Well, good luck for you. Hope you have a reliable
vehicle. Thank you.
Hope you have a reliable vehicle.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, well, that's good. Well, I have to drive for my work, so I'm all over the Indiana, Michigan, and Northern Illinois. So it's, you know, I have my vehicle has over 200,000 miles on it now, so I can feel your pain. So okay, great. Well, I was just curious. You know, we didn't really get into it yet, but I was just curious. Are you currently seeing anybody right now?
I'm sorry?
Are you currently seeing anybody right now?
Yes, I am. We have lived together since June, although I guess technically July, and we've been together for a couple of years. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah.
So how did you two meet? I'm just curious.
We actually met at a show a few years ago, and he was he really pursued me, which is kind of nice because in the past I've always been more of the persistent one, and it was kind of nice to not have to be the persistent one for once. So, and I actually met him for the first time when I was in another relationship, and that had ended, and, you know, he kind of popped up again in my life all of a sudden, showed up at a show, and that was that, so.
Wow. So is he involved with music too?
He's not, but what I really like about him is that he sings and he has no shame, and he has got a really great voice. Every relationship that I've been in the past, people have always just been very intimidated to sing around me, and I guess that might not be that very surprising, but at the same time, I've always felt bad that I've been kind of intimidating to other people, and, you know, just he's never been intimidated around me to sing, and I noticed that immediately, you know, throughout the first month of seeing him, he just doesn't let himself get intimidated by anything. It's great.
Well, that's good.
Even though I think he really looks up to me and respects me, musically, he doesn't really let it get in the way of just the fact that he's a little songbird, you know?
Okay.
So I really like that.
Well, that's great. Now, does he travel with you, or does he have to stay there for work and for his own?
Sometimes he does. He actually might be coming with me on the first month of this 2-month tour in the spring. And his bosses really like him a lot, so he has a lot more flexibility than most, and so he's able to do that every once in a while.
Well, that's cool. So I was just curious what, because like you said, you know, normally you're the one doing the pursuing, and this time you're on the receiving end. I was just wondering what, so, you know, I'm just curious, because I love to ask couples this, like, you know, what makes him, you know, to you, what makes him the one that you really wanted to be with? Is there something other than musically that stood out for you that really made you say, hey, wow, this guy's really cool?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, he's really a breath of fresh air, and I guess I use that as an example of how he really doesn't let things intimidate him. He's incredibly positive and optimistic, just kind of carefree, and it's just a very yin-yang relationship, and it's very different from the past. I've always been more drawn to people that are more troubled or as dark as I can get, you know, and I think that doesn't necessarily work, at least not for me. It's really been necessary to be with someone to counterbalance how serious I can be and what a heavy load I can carry around. So I think we really highlight each other and work together in that way.
Well, cool. Well, I just love when I, you know, talk to people and how they met and, you know, and any of the crazy stories or how they able to, you know, make it last long term. And I remember this one couple that had been together for, you know, like 25 years. And, you know, one of the key things that the gentleman that I interviewed said, you know, the thing is he said, number one is you got to make sure that you can communicate with one another. And then number two is appreciate each other's differences. And that, like, for example, he likes all kinds of music, including like opera and stuff like that. And then his partner's like, oh God, I don't want to listen to that. So what happens is when he wants to listen to his music, he goes into his room and puts the headphones on and listens to it, and then the partner goes and does what he wants to do, and so they have their alone time, but they also have their, you know, quality together time, and, you know, and they really, you know, really work. And it's just amazing that, you know, I just wish a lot of the straight people who are so against, you know, the community, that they could see people like that. And, you know, and like, for example, his own mother actually said when they first found out that he was gay that she was very negative and, you know, very, said some homophobic things, and it was really bad. But then in later in life, she actually said of all her children and all the relationships that all of them had, that her gay son had the most strongest, loving, caring relationship. So it can, you know, definitely change people's opinion over time. And, you know, I just thought it was really cool. So
yeah, oh, that's great. And I definitely agree with with appreciating each other's differences and communication. I mean, that has been that's been the biggest change in this relationship. I've really made an effort to, you know, have as much communication as possible, and that has definitely made all the difference.
Yeah. Well, cool. Yeah, that's amazing. And I wish you both the very best. And how long have you been together now?
It's probably over 2 years now.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's great. And I just want to, you know, definitely encourage everybody to, you know, definitely check out your website. It's GregoryDouglas.com. Again, that's with two S's at the end. And you can find out about all his dates. He's going to be all over the place. So definitely I want you to go out and check out his show. And also Steph Taylor, she's absolutely amazing. And I'm hoping to have her on the program as well. And it's just been really an awesome experience being able to meet with you and, you know, and listen to your music and hopefully share it with a lot of other people. Before we get going, I was just wondering, did you have any other things you'd like to share or tell the audience before we get going?
I don't know. I don't think so. I'll be on tour throughout the spring, throughout April and May and into June. And hopefully I'll see some folks on the road. And that's really it. I'm kind of touring around in support of this new record, Up and Away. And I've been getting more and more radio play, too, which is kind of a new thing for me. I'm working with a radio promoter, and that's been really rewarding. So,
well, cool.
So perhaps I'll pop up on your local radio station. Who knows?
Well, that'd be awesome. Well, but Gregor, before you go, I realized that there's one thing that I forgot to ask you that I always ask all my guests. And one of the questions, the question is, as I mentioned to you before the interview, that a lot of the people that do listen to the show are more of the younger generation, and obviously I want to try to present and showcase a lot of different people and of course in all aspects of life, whether music and writing or whatever. And I was just wondering, looking back at your life and in the experiences that you have as a young gay man, I was just wondering what kind of advice or recommendations would you give to them?
I would definitely say that, you know, we're really spearheading forward with gay issues in the mainstream, and that's such a relief. I'm very curious as to what life might be like now for somebody that is, you know, the age that I was when I first came out. And regardless of where people are living, I mean, obviously it's very different from place to place, but as cliche as it might sound, you can only be who you are, and so many people spend their whole life trying to figure that out, or suppressing who they really are. And I mean, the earlier the better, if they can embrace that, and other people will follow. I mean, I think that people really are followers by nature, and are really drawn to people. People just radiate when they're themselves, and they become very magnetic. If you're afraid of anything as far as, you know, people who are still in the closet or don't really know who to turn to, you know, if you break outside of that fear and just really grab hold of who you are, it will make all the difference in the world. And as far as just being young and gay and out about it, I mean, I think the best advice I have to give is just to really kind of apply the same sort of thing with whatever you want to do with your life. I think that I have an advantage of really going for developing music at a young age, and I therefore had a real head start and advantage compared to people that are almost twice my age doing what I'm doing now. And so I'm really lucky in that respect, but I also worked really hard, and I didn't really wait around, you know, and I also don't really just kind of, you know, let people come to me or kind of just mope around. And I mean, the answers are out there, and it's so easy to just to just go and learn about what you want to do and not be lazy about it and just do what you want to do. And, I mean, live your dreams, basically. Yeah. Again, as cliche as that might sound, it's all so much easier than it seems when you really just go for it. So.
Well, that's good advice because, you know, it's like with anything else in life, like whether it's a job, whether it's music, whether it's losing weight or, you know, writing the, you know, next great novel, you have to start somewhere and you got to get that pen out. You got to get the piano in front of you. You got to get the computer in front of you. I mean, you have to start making those small little steps. And then pretty soon you have a best-selling book, a great CD that people love, and, you know, you're winning a Grammy Awards. I mean, it's like, you know, so, I mean, it's just amazing how, you know, how life can change very quickly for you if you make those right steps. So it's just really amazing. So good. Okay, great. Well, again, I want to, you know, Gregory, I'd like to thank you so much for being on the program and, you know, sharing your story and sharing your music. And I definitely want to encourage everybody again to go to gregorydouglas.com, as well as I'll have a link also for Gregory's MySpace page. You can add him as a friend and let him know that Ramble Redhead told you all about him, and we can get that going. And again, I'd like for everybody to check out his dates that are coming up and give him a, you know, go see him because he's a really amazing artist. And
yeah, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. And would you like to say goodbye to everybody?
Goodbye, everybody.
Okay, everybody. Well, I'm going to have to say goodbye, too. And so what I'd like to do is thank you for being a big part of the program, and I'd like to thank you for listening to the show. And I encourage you all to go to RambleRedhead.com and leave a comment about this show as well as any of the others that you've listened to, because I'm a greedy, crazy person about comments and emails, and you can email me at RambleRedhead@gmail.com as well. And so there's so many ways that you can get a hold of me. And also, I just want you to know that I also have a new P.O. Box. So if you want to send me anything, you can send that to P.O. Box 2804 South Bend, Indiana 46680. So again, I'd appreciate it. So again, check out the website. I have a lot of great links on YouTube, things that are really, really funny, and other stuff like that. But I'll be putting all the links for Gregory and so much more on the site. So again, thank you for listening to the Ramble Redhead Show.
Free falling, oh no, where do I begin? Free falling till the birds forget to sing. But I found you in a crowd of anguish.